Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to the internet's favorite show about plastic surgery, health, and beauty. This is Nip Talk. On today's show, first off, Megan Fox's enormous plastic surgery revelation. So much to unpack there. We're going to go over all of it. Then, is residency training for physicians too hard? We're going to discuss. And then finally, we got some surgery mishaps from Florida. I know Sarah loved those, and they're all coming up right now.
Live from Lincoln Center in the heart of the Dallas Metroplex, this is Nip Talk, an honest and uncensored show about plastic surgery, health, beauty, and lifestyle, with your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman, and your co-host, entrepreneur and social media influencer Sarah Bennett. Now it's time to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the topics everyone is talking about. It's time for Nip Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Please hit that like and subscribe button. It helps us a ton. I'm your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman. With me, as always, is the wonderful Sarah and her awesome jean jacket, which
Howdy.
I love. Is that like a vintage jean jacket or is it a new one?
No, it's just old. It's just a...
Like you've had it for a long
classic
time.
Classic Levi's.
Yeah, it's slick. They're making a comeback. Travis, how are you, buddy? You good in the box?
I'm good. How about y'all?
Yeah, doing good. So I missed you guys. It's been, a couple weeks?
Yeah.
A little minute.
So, Trey, I guess you probably don't do spring break. You don't have kids, so probably don't do spring break.
Nah, not really. I just kind of do my regular routine.
Spring break's a weird thing. It's like, when you're young, high school, college, it's this great
deal thing.
And then you forget about it, and then you have kids, and then it circles back. Yeah.
I didn't do anything fun.
You didn't do anything.
Avery got to stay home, and she just liked being with me because I work from home. So
yeah, that's fun.
It was just me and her having.
That's good quality time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so we did go out to Colorado, which was a lot of fun, and we had some great weather. But it was pretty interesting because I don't know if I mentioned this whenever we were here the last time. So I've been snowboarding forever, since the '90s, and so I wanted to kind of change up the way I do it. So without getting too technical in the snowboarding. So instead of just going one direction on the board, have the ability to just go any direction. How skis are set up and it'd be hard to go backwards. Well, in the early days of snowboards, it was the same thing. But as the technology's gotten better, they now can set them up to where you can go either way. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that. And so, it's super hard. I'm really good
going. Did you get sore?
Yeah, one, I was using muscles that I wasn't used to using. I mean, it's almost like learning to snowboard over again.
Yeah.
And also, too, I was pretty prone to falls. And actually, I wore a helmet this year, which I generally never wear a helmet.
Yeah, I saw that post.
Oh, on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like wearing a helmet because I have a super cool hat I normally wear. That's a Viking helmet with a beard and stuff. And so I didn't get to wear that, which really...
Oh, no.
I know, it's sad. It's like my ski costume. You gotta have a costume. Anyway, but it was really cool. By the end of the week, I pretty much had it down. I was doing pretty good. I think by next season, I'll probably have it. Which is kind of hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the time for you, Dr. Herman, it's not the actual vacation, it's the trip to it. Did y'all take a car or did y'all?
Oh yeah, we drove.
Yeah, I drove, right?
We did drive. We're kind of cheapskates. I mean, skiing's expensive, and if you have four people flying and then you have to rent a car.
Sure.
And so yeah, we drove, which I'm cool with. I honestly enjoy
a road trip.
I enjoy road tripping. I did when I was a young person. I used to road trip all the time with my friends.
Yeah, I'm taking Avery on a road trip to the Grand Canyon.
Oh my gosh, my office manager Morgan is literally there right now. I don't think they road trip, but they did. They flew out there.
I'm going with my sister, and she has a little girl that's about the same age as Avery. Aww. So
that's dope. Sarah, can you bring me back a rock?
Okay.
Just a rock. That's all I want.
I thought you were about to ask me some serious question, and said a rock.
Can you bring me back a rock?
I just want a rock.
A rock from the Grand Canyon. Do you collect rocks, Trey?
No, I don't. I just think it would probably be cool to have.
It would be cool. You could set it up there on the studio.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next to your Bahama, Bohemian money.
I'll bring you a Bohemian, although I don't know when I'm going to be back. But so the road trip was great. Very unexciting. It's kind of fun. We're a total nerd family, so we make up games. Mm-hmm. Like, we do this game where we go through the alphabet, and, like, you have to name a song that starts with A, and then you'd have to name a song that starts with B, and...
I do that with Avery, except we have to name animals.
We do everything, yeah. But, like, yeah, so we'll do, like, songs or movies or villains or heroes, and, I don't know, the kids get kind of, like, tired of it after a while. They're like, okay, we just want to, like, listen to music.
We're like, yeah, shut up.
But, I don't know, it was good. It was a great trip. It was nice to have a week off.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. But it's nice to be back, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss being up here.
It's all like this lovely weather.
Was it bad last week?
All the up and downs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like, it would, like, be super hot. Then it would, all of a sudden, like, a wind would come, and then
it's spring here. Spring in Dallas is crazy.
Raining. Yeah.
Yeah, it can be hot, cold, windy. I mean, it's kind of nuts, but
yeah.
But I do prefer it over the winter.
Yes.
Even though the winter here is not bad, I just don't like the cold.
Same.
Hence why I live here.
Yeah, same.
All right, let's move into some segments. So I assume you guys saw the big drop about Megan Fox in the last day or two. It's been it's been over.
I didn't watch the podcast.
Oh, perfect. Good. So you're coming in fresh.
I've seen a bunch of clips on TikTok though.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
okay.
I've watched some of it.
All right,
most of the good parts.
For those who don't know or haven't seen it, Megan Fox went on a podcast recently and did a very big revelation about her plastic surgeries, mm-hmm. which is actually very cool because we just talked about her a couple months ago mm-hmm. when she went to that Super Bowl party, remember?
And Trey, and everybody was just like, oh, she's done too much, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Trey, I think I put a picture up there, yeah. And yeah. So for all those who didn't see the segment, I mean, check it out. It's actually a pretty good segment. We were talking about Megan Fox's Super Bowl pick because she was catching all this shade about how she looked, and people were saying that...
She's also making like a huge kissy face.
Totally. And we came to the conclusion that this picture was just a bad picture. It's bad lighting. She's making a bad face. And we had another picture, which I didn't include this time, just like a second later,
normal.
And she looked
yeah.
more normal. But what we did do on that segment is we speculated on what...
Yeah. I speculated that she didn't have something done that you for sure thought that she did.
Which one was it?
I think it was like her nose or something.
Right. Okay. So I remember what I said, obviously. I said that she'd had a breast augmentation, uh-huh. a nose job, and then Botox and fillers.
Yeah.
That's what I said based on...
I feel like I said that she didn't have something. Like
I think you
like,
said she didn't have a nose job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this past week, she was on the... Have you guys heard of the Call Her Daddy podcast?
Yeah.
Is that something that I'm just dumb because I don't know? But Trey, have you heard of this?
The only reason I've heard of it is from TikTok.
I've not heard of it.
Okay. Well, the reason that you might have heard about this is the host, Alex Cooper, who I'd never heard of, is the most successful female mm-hmm. podcaster in the world, I think. She just signed a 3-year deal with Spotify for $66 million dollars. I mean, I think
how far?
I think we're on a trajectory for that.
How much does she? Yeah, how much does she get paid versus Joe Rogan?
So Joe Rogan's number one. I can't remember what his was. It was more.
He's like the inventor of podcasts.
Yes. So, but still, like $60 million 3-year deal. I mean,
shout out to her,
dude. That girl is awesome. I mean, and honestly, I did enjoy.
What did she do before? Wasn't it something?
Not really much of anything. Oh. Like, I don't understand because I had to. So, I'm doing research for this, and I went and looked up her name after I watched the podcast. I was like, who is this girl? I mean, she has, like, this very kind of nondescript background, unless there's something I'm missing. But she's a great host. Like, I actually really enjoyed it. So, anyway, Megan Fox was on the Call Her Daddy podcast with Alex Cooper, and she big time opened up about her plastic surgery, which I love. I think that's so cool when celebrities are honest about the things they've done because it removes all the mystique. And it's not, you know, giving some unrealistic expectation of what natural beauty is.
Right.
So I love the whole episode. And so I want to play some of the clips and kind of go over what she talked about. And let's just unpack it, like, as a group. So
I'm excited.
So the first clip, she started talking about plastic surgery she hasn't done.
Okay.
All right. So there's just, and it's kind of one by one. So Trouble, scroll that first clip.
I'll go through. Okay. Here's things I haven't done that I have been accused of doing.
Okay.
And then I'll confirm the things I have done.
Okay.
I've never had a facelift of any kind. So no mid-facelift, no like lateral brow lift, although I would like one, or no regular brow lift.
All right. So no facelift. I mean, that wasn't even on our radar when we were talking.
No.
I think some people had accused her of that. I thought that was silly. I don't think anyone here, I mean, no one here thought she had a facelift, right?
No.
I mean, I value you guys. You guys know now. You guys are, I think, pretty much experts on plastic surgery
sure.
at this point.
I've never done that. I have researched researched them. That's not because of some moral thing. I just don't really believe they work. And I'm also afraid that they would interfere when I do need to have a facelift. Mm-hmm. But I am very tempted to go have my eyebrows snatched like all the way. I want that look. Sometimes that seems fun. And you can do it on a lunch break. And I see why it's so tempting. And I have researched it, have not done it yet.
Okay. Trey was super excited to see that next clip.
Hey.
No, it actually was perfect though. We were done. So, all right. So the second
he
one
said
is
enough of that.
He's like, yeah. All right, be quiet. No. Quiet, doctor. No, it was cool, Trey. No, cool. I just had to give you grief. I only give grief to the people I like, which is you two. All right. So she hasn't done any threads, which I am happy.
Yeah, we don't like them.
I'm not a big fan of threads. Yeah. I don't think they're terrible. It's just. Yeah, everything she said was really smart. Like, she doesn't think they work that great, and they probably can, you know, or they might give her complications down the road. Uh-huh. I mean, smart. She's on point. Like, she's done her research. So, but I don't think anyone here thought she had threads. All right, let's go to the next one. This is one that people thought she may have had.
I've never had this done. What is this?
Oh, buckle fat.
I've never had that done. I'll never have any fat removed. I'm a very, like, lean person that doesn't have enough body fat or fat in my face, so I will only ever put fat in. I will never be taking fat out, which leads me to I've never had any like liposuction or body contouring or anything like that.
Okay, so I think she was getting the buckle fat removal from that picture.
Yeah.
When she like, well, I don't know if my face looks like, I can't even make the face right. Yeah, okay, Sarah's got it. Yeah, so when she made that face in the picture, I mean, it kind of gave the false imitation that her cheeks were hollow.
I think because then if she's gotten a filler in her cheeks, it makes her...
Absolutely right. Yep. Especially when you suck in like that or make the little kissy face.
Yeah.
It can make you
And depending how much makeup she's wearing. Because like whenever I do like contour of my face...
Oh, and oh my gosh, Sarah, she mentioned contouring. Don't let me forget. I'm going to talk about it because I didn't have time to include all the clips. So she hasn't had buckle fat removal or liposuction. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us had thought that about her. I mean, she's always been super fit and trim, and I just couldn't imagine having liposuction.
Yeah.
I never thought she had buckle fat. So we're still good. We're batting 1,000.
Okay.
All right. Next one, Trey.
I mean, I would be so flattered if somebody thought I had a BBL.
That ass,
If I could, I would. I don't have the extra body fat. I would get it done if I could.
That dump truck.
I want to make a t-shirt that says dump truck on it.
Yeah, you'd have to come with a cool graphic or something.
I don't know.
We'll make some dump truck t-shirts.
I think. I just want like, just a simple
It could say like, Nip Talk, get that dump truck, baby.
But the natural way, because we hate BBLs.
That's right, the natural way. Okay, so she's talking about Brazilian butt lifts. She hasn't had one. That was also not on her radar. Megan, if you're watching, I know you're watching because this is such a big show.
Yeah, why wouldn't she watch this?
Please don't get a BBL. Like, they're just not good. I've talked about that a million times, about the wrists, and so I'm not a big fan. But I don't think she had a BBL. We didn't talk about her having a BBL.
Uh-uh.
We're still doing good. Okay, now she's going to move on to the things that she has done.
Okay.
Trey, roll it.
Okay, what you have
had. What I have had done, like I said, I had my boobs done when I was 21 or 22. Uh-huh. I had them redone after I was done breastfeeding my kids, mm-hmm. because I don't know where they went, but they went. And then I had to have them redone very recently because the first set, I didn't have enough body fat to disguise. You could see the rippling of the implant, so I had to switch them out mm-hmm. to this set. I was like, I better wake up with the biggest boobs you can fit in my body. And that is what he said he did. And they're not even that big. They're a 32D, which is not that big. They just look big on my body because my body's tiny.
Right, right.
But... If he could have gone bigger, I would have had him go bigger because I don't like surgery. And the fact that I had to do it, I was like, I want a reward for the suffering I have to go through. I don't want to wake up with a full B cup. There's no fucking point in that. I'm not doing it.
Right. You want titties.
I wanted titties. I said, I don't care what's on trend. Give me 1990s stripper titties. That's what I want. And he did it.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's so funny. I actually really enjoy watching that segment. So we nailed that one, right?
Because
remember, we said she's had a breast augmentation.
For
and she's
sure.
actually had an augmentation in two revisions. And so I'm just going to throw out there why she may have done that. So she had her augmentation before kids. Mm-hmm. She gets pregnant, her breasts change, she has to have them redone. That's actually a very common thing. If you get your augmentation before kids, if you're really lucky, you won't have to mess with them, but most people do. And so she did that. And then the interesting thing is that she said she had to get them done again because they were rippling. Well, if they were rippling, that means they were saline. Only saline implants ripple, really, with very, very few exceptions. So I'm surprised she got saline implants. I found that kind of interesting.
She's very, like...
granola?
Yes.
I was trying to figure the word you were searching for.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that is kind of the downside of getting saline implants, especially in a very thin person. They're much more prone to show the rippling versus somebody who has a little bit more body fat on them. As far as sort of like getting the biggest implants possible, I'm not a huge fan of that. I mean, there are
Hers don't look like that. She she doesn't look like she has the biggest boobs.
No,
she
doesn't.
She has the biggest set that are tasteful.
And that she could probably handle.
Yeah.
I mean, her tissues could handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, they're like slightly big for her, but I mean, they're not like bad. But yeah, so okay. So we said she had a breast augmentation. We nailed that one. Okay, let's go on to the next one, Trey.
Girl, you look amazing.
Thank you. And then I had my nose done when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've literally been accused of having like 6, 7, 8 rhinoplasty surgeries, which is impossible. Your nose would get necrosis and fall off. I haven't had a rhinoplasty since I was, I'm going to say 23. It's been well over a decade. Okay. I've not touched my nose since then.
All right, so we talked about that, and I thought she'd had one. Was
I didn't think she had one.
You didn't think she had one. Because we were
talking. But that's because I think we were comparing a picture that she already, that maybe she had it already done, because she said she got it done early when she was 23.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and look at the pictures. I thought for sure she'd had one based on the photos I saw.
Well, but
I
remember you would know.
Huh?
I said you would know better than me.
Well, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you're probably right, but yeah. I mean, your judgment's really good. So, and I didn't include it, but she was really talking about how much you should go back and watch that segment. It's pretty interesting. She was talking about how much contouring she does on her nose, that she really, like, in addition to having nose jobs, she actually puts a lot of contour on to make her nose look even thinner. And then she likes that look. And she said she wants to look like Voldemort with like just the two nose holes.
Oh.
Which I should have included, but I thought we were going to run out of time.
Yeah, contouring can really trick people. Yeah. Like people have thought that I've had a nose job.
Yeah, based on contouring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should do a segment or something on that. I mean, there's probably tons of them out there, though. But
there's totally, yeah.
Is there? All right. But we did nail that one. I mean, as a collective group.
Yes.
So we're 2 for 2. All right, let's go to the next one there, Travis.
So you've had your nose done, you've had your tits done, and what? Botox and filler?
That's it, right?
All right, Botox and fillers. So we did pretty good. I'm pretty proud of us. Like, we were very, very accurate.
I've had two of the procedures that Megan Fox has had now.
Oh, yeah,
implants Botox. And Botox.
And Botox, yeah.
Haha, we're best friends.
You guys are like besties. Can you like call her up?
Probably.
Have her come on the show? I bet she'd
Phone number's probably magically in my phone, though.
I bet she'd be a hoot on air. So we're doing good. All right. And then another part of the segment, which I thought was really fun and is sort of related to us. So she went over this kind of interesting list of demands that she has for her doctors. And I want you guys to hear it, and I want to hear what you guys think about it. So roll that next one there, Trey.
When I go to have a surgery, it's a very big deal. And I have all my doctors have to meet with me before and have to tell me if they've seen any omens, if they saw any owls, crows, if anyone stepped on a spider, if there are any dead insects. Like, my doctors have to go through this with me because I'm very afraid of dying under general anesthesia. So I don't take surgery lightly, and therefore I have not had many of them because of that. So that's probably a saving grace that I have this paranoia or this fear, because God knows what I would have been up to.
Do your doctors think you're insane? They're like, oh, this
bitch.
No, they love me.
Like, me. They,
yes, I saw an owl, Megan. Let's reschedule.
No, we all. And by the way, I'm like, I'll still pay for the surgery. Just do not also make sure the music playlist, no music comes up that reminds you of like your ex-girlfriend or an ex-wife or anything that's going to make you upset, because you are the surgeon. You need to be in a good headspace. If you have a fight with your wife, do not come in for surgery. I go through all of these protocols.
You should make us all like a list of like a little pre-op situation.
You don't want to. Any surgery is a risk to your life. I don't care what anyone says.
Right.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm. Going under general anesthesia is a risk to your life.
Yep.
So, what do you think about all that?
Fun.
Fun. I mean, it's a lot. We don't get that kind of requests around here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I occasionally ask people ask me, oh, do you have a good weekend? Like, or did you sleep good last night?
I'm like, you're like, no.
I'm like, no, but yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. And I totally believe that she probably goes over that list.
No, yeah, she's totally like, she's very like, I don't want to.
Earthy,
like, yeah. Very, like, I want to say witchy.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're trying to get at, yeah.
Like, having, like, crystals and astrology
Probably right.
All of that.
It's funny, I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, for all those people out there who, you know, think what would happen if I asked, I mean, the doctors will tell you, oh, sure, yeah, absolutely, that we're going to do all that. And when you come in, they'll be like, oh, yep, we did all that. Yeah, no owls. Like, I mean, they could be like in a car full of owls and they'd come in and be like, yep, no owls, haven't seen an owl.
They're like, I low-key have a pet owl.
Yeah, I'm low-key.
Do you have a pre-song, like, playlist before you operate?
Dude, I used to do playlists, but the problem is when you operate as much as I do, you get bored of your playlist really quick. And so...
you just have the radio on?
Yeah, I do Pandora, and I make my own channels. And so that way it's always kind of random, but even that sort of gets, like, old. And then sometimes I'll just be like, tell the OR, you guys just play whatever you want. And I actually kind of enjoy that, because I like almost every type of music, mm-hmm. for the most part. I really do... enjoy almost every type of music. I'm not a huge fan of opera. I've heard sometimes people play like movie soundtracks. I'm not a big fan of that. But outside of those two things, I can listen to anything.
Right? Yeah.
So, same. Yeah, I'm pretty good as far as the music goes. And then what you mentioned about general anesthesia being risky, I mean, yes, she is right. There is some risk in general anesthesia. But I wanted everyone to know that those risks are very, very, very small. In fact, I think statistically, you're more likely to die driving to a surgery center to get general anesthesia than you are from the general anesthesia. I remember I did all those calculations once. It's like extremely low.
Yeah.
But I get what she's saying. I mean, you know, it is a risk and so people should be aware of that. Okay, there is a bonus clip here of her that is actually really, really interesting. And I'm gonna ask you guys what you think about it. So this is the last clip, roll it, Trey.
There's one thing I had done that I'm gatekeeping because, sorry.
What?
It was really good and it's not a known like plastic surgery, people don't even really know about it.
Will you tell me off camera?
Yeah. You don't need it, I don't think.
Really?
You're not going to want it. I wanted it very badly and I needed to do it. And it's something that...
Can you give us a hint?
No.
No?
So, yeah, sorry, Trey, confused there. Because that was just the audio because the way Spotify is, you can't pull from Spotify. So all the other stuff came from YouTube and they kind of teased that. And so I didn't have video for it. But you guys heard the audio, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's had something done that she didn't want to talk about.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? I have an idea. I just want to see what you guys think. Mm. And if you don't have an idea, I mean, just say I don't have no idea. But do you have any idea? Like, it's something, it's a plastic surgery she doesn't want to talk about, even though she's talked about pretty much everything.
Does it have to do with reproductive things?
Well, I don't know the answer. I'm just speculating. Mm.
That's what I would think.
Her lips, maybe?
I think she may have had a labiaplasty. I mean, what else would you not talk about after you talked about everything else?
Well, the thing is that she was like, that I needed to have done. I don't think you need it. Mm. She said that.
Well, that is true. But most people, I mean, labiaplasties are not common.
I know.
I mean, they're pretty rare. But I will tell you, I haven't done any of those. I mean, I would if we had clientele that wanted them because they're super simple to do. But I've heard the people that do them really, really like them. Like, the satisfaction rate's really high. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting that she had something done that she wouldn't talk about that even though she talked about everything else. It's kind of I'm sure the internet's probably a buzz of, like, what has Megan had done that she wouldn't talk about? I mean, there's only certain things it could be. I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it has to be something that Megan Fox couldn't see on that girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Or it could be something totally random, like maybe she had a hernia or something more medical. I mean, who knows? I just thought it was kind of interesting to kind of speculate about what she may have had done.
What if she had something weird on her?
Maybe she has, like, secret elf ears.
There was this really pretty girl in my high school. Like, she was gorgeous girl, but she had one weird thing about her. She had an extra toe on her foot.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And she didn't give a crap. She'd walk around with her flip-flops with her weird little toe. And she was like the prettiest girl at our school.
Oh my
and
gosh,
I'd be like,
crazy.
At least there's something off about you.
Yeah. All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed that thing, segment about Megan Fox. If you haven't seen our first one about Megan Fox, the Super Bowl party, check it out. There's some other things we talked about there. But I do appreciate her going over those things. I think it's really cool yeah. when celebrities are open about what they've had done. So, all right, moving on. Next segment. Okay, so I kind of broke the internet last week.
Yeah, I saw it.
I know, right?
I was confused.
I was, you know, and honestly, I was confused because you never know. You never know what people are going to get really kind of upset about these days. Mm-hmm. I try to stay away from politics and all that because, one, I'm not, like, super political. But so this is actually a really tragic story about a resident doctor. So a resident doctor is a doctor in training that mm-hmm. that took his own life. And so this story started popping up in my feeds on various things. I mean, I'd seen it on Twitter, like, a few times. And then, and so his name, I'm going to throw some pictures. His name's William, Dr. William West. He was an ophthalmology resident at George Washington University. And I actually mm-hmm. looked him up. I mean, guy's brilliant, obviously. Anyone who gets into ophthalmology is extremely smart because that is one of the absolute most difficult residencies to get. I mean, it's up there with, like, dermatology. You know, plastics is another one that's really popular. I mean, you know, this guy's obviously a brilliant guy. He did a lot of service in his life. Mm-hmm. Was involved with the church and everything. So, yeah, very, very sadly, he took his own life, I guess, earlier this year. And you know, even in showing, like, what a good guy he was, like, some of his, I guess, his, I don't know if it's, like, a note or what he wrote, but he said he wanted to protect other doctors in training dealing with similar challenges that he was dealing with.
Okay.
You know, which, I mean, the guy's seemed like an all-around rock star, so it is very tragic. Anyway, so I'd seen these posts about him, you know, like these moral posts. And then I saw one post that was basically blaming his residency training for the reason that he had taken his own life. And I was like, that doesn't really sound right to me. And I'll explain why in a minute. So I just made this, like, little comment, and I'll throw it up there. I mean, boy, and it created a firestorm. So basically I said, you know, wasn't he an ophthalmology resident? Historically, that's an overly taxing residency, perhaps is more of a personal mental health issue than an environmental one, because the post that I was replying to was basically implying that he had taken his own life because of how hard residency was. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, the freaking internet came unglued. Like,
yeah.
They just went nuts. And of course, you know, I didn't mean that, like, in any type of negative way towards him. I mean, to me, like, when something tragic happens, I mean, obviously you have to grieve and all that, but I mean, you kind of want to figure out why did this tragic event happen? And what can you do to prevent it? And so, like, in my mind when I saw it, I was like, well, if they're blaming this on something that's not really true, I think they're missing the point of what, like, some of the bigger factors might be. And, you know, and the reason I even was thinking about this, because we talked, I guess, a couple weeks ago about the negative sides of being a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I pulled the data on, which I know is bad, the data on physicians in general suicide is not good. Like, doctors are twice as likely to take their own lives as, like, as the age-adjusted general population. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and so, like, obviously I didn't mean that, like, in any negative way towards him, but...
you didn't... you wrote it very, like, fact.
Right, and that's how...
No emotional...
Right, I'm not, like, overly sensitive guy. I'm, like, a really kind of factual, like...
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with this, and this is why kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so... yeah, and honestly, I think that because I actually hadn't even looked him up a whole lot when I wrote that. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I just don't think this might be right. So in his bio, or I guess his, what do you call it, the memorial, not the obituary, but it's like memorial.
Yeah.
Like, his family did mention that he had, like, this long history of battling demons, which to me is, like, kind of a thing with, you know, he probably had depression or, you know, other issues.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Who knows what that means. And also, too, like, ophthalmology is, like, a really good specialty. I mean... As I said, you have to be brilliant to get into it. The lifestyle is really good. And I actually have, like, a little infographic that I threw up there, you know, and that's, like, a list of, like, the hours worked for different specialties. And opto is, like, towards the bottom, which is good. Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, you know, as you get towards the top, these programs get more and more challenging because just the hours that you work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, ophthalmology is a pretty good specialty. I mean, yeah, it's stressful. Any residency is going to be stressful.
Yeah.
For sure. But there are ones that definitely can be more taxing because they're life and death or because the hours are just, like, insane. And so, yeah, I mean, like I said, I no way wanted to diminish this guy's legacy. I mean, honestly, I think it's maybe worse to say that did it when if there was something like a bigger issue behind it. The whole internet just like came unglued. I was just like, you know, whatever. Like people were like, oh, you're a terrible person. You shouldn't be a doctor. I'm like, yeah, it's just kind of like my opinion, man. But so I did want to discuss like, you know, is residency too hard? I mean, what do you guys know about residency? Anything? I mean, do you even know
from
what I mean?
From what you've told me and then what I've watched on Scrubs.
Oh, on Scrubs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
because I never watched ER.
You know what's funny? Residency has changed a lot over the past, 100 or 200 years since it's been a thing. You know, the term resident was actually coined because when you were a resident physician, you actually lived in the hospital.
Okay.
Like, you lived inside the hospital, and a lot of places wouldn't let you leave. And really, that wasn't that long ago. I remember when I was in college, and one of my buddies was going down to Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, and in the recent past, they still forced some of their fellows to live in the ICU. Meaning, like, when you were on a certain rotation, you lived in that ICU 24/7 for a month at a time. And I was like, dang, that's hardcore. I mean, like, I'm not afraid to work, but man, like, living inside the hospital for a month.
Yeah.
But as things do, I mean, they tend to get better. And so, you know, when I went through residency, it was still very, very hard. You know, have you guys ever heard of the work hour restriction law that went into effect?
Yeah, I think you've talked about it. Yeah.
So, yeah, in the kind of mid to late 2000s, they put a law in place that said that residents couldn't work more than 80 hours in a week, which was kind of crazy when it happened because it was very standard for certain residencies to push 110, 120. And I actually calculated, so we ran, like for most services, we ran 110 to 120 hours per week. Which meant you really didn't get days off. And it was horrible. Like, I hated it. I mean, you know, I myself got, like, depressed during my residency. And, mm-hmm. you know, but, I mean, I felt like we had pretty good support. Like, you know, our residents were very good about talking with each other. I had the support of my family, which is nice. And so, you know, I may just kind of push through it. But it was pretty miserable. But, you know, so I guess the next question is, like, okay, well, if we're really going to dive into this, you know, is residency too hard? Is it pushing, you know, people to potentially commit suicide? I mean, one of the first things that I would ask is there a higher rate of suicide with resident physicians? Because we know for a fact that doctors in general have a higher suicide rate.
Right.
And so I actually pulled a study on that. So throw up that first clip, or the first one. Yeah, so this is a study looking from 2000 to 2014 by the ACGME, which basically is the oversight board for residencies. And it was looked at all of the deaths of residents that happened in this 14-year period. Now, this 14-year period is going to about half and half span the pre-work hour restriction with the post-work hour restrictions. And flipping over to the next slide, basically it said that, to their surprise, that resident doctors had a lower suicide rate compared to the age match population, which okay. is kind of surprising. I was a little surprised by that, honestly, knowing how hard residency was and still is at this point, even though they've kind of trimmed it back. But then again, you think about it, kind of makes sense. Like, you know, you get to residency, you're really excited. It's something new, mm-hmm. you know. So it was a little surprising, but not super surprising. Are residents unhappy? Yeah, there's a lot of studies that show that. I mean, resident doctors, even medical students, are shown to be sleep deprived. The risk of depression is up there.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, when you talk about things like people taking their own lives, I mean, some of the biggest risk factors are mental illness, like depression or other things. History of suicide attempts is up there. Complete lack of social support is up mm-hmm. there. You know, big upheavals in life, whether it be divorce or loss of a job. And then stress of jobs is in there. So, definitely it can play a factor. But, you know, the question is like, okay, is this something that has to be changed? Well, I mean, that's up for debate. And so that's why I think that, you know, having a discussion is important. I mean, because there's a lot of viewpoints out there. There's like this big push right now to even further cut back the work hour restrictions from what they were. Because in the past, so when I went through, there was no restrictions.
Yeah.
They could work you as much as they wanted, and there's really nothing you could do about it.
And make your life really difficult.
Oh, and it was pretty bad. And the thing was, is you knew going into a program, what it was like. I went to like a really, really, what we used to call malignant, which that term for residencies or jobs meant that it was hard. Mm-hmm. Like people would yell at you, like they could fire you for any reason. Like the system was pyramidal where they actually accepted more residents than they could graduate, knowing people would either quit or get fired. But like you knew that going in.
Yeah.
You know, and also you know going into a certain specialty. Like certain specialties are known to be really hard. Neurosurgery, general surgery. So someone might ask, so what is, like, what's the downside of making residency easier, right? I mean, because, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's not like a sadist thing. Like, we don't want to make people miserable.
We just want people to be prepared for what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, that's it. And that's exactly it. You know, the one thing I will say about the miserable experience that was my residency is that when I finished, like, I felt I was ready for anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, I felt that even before, even like a few months before I finished, I was like, okay, I've done everything so many times. And at that point in time, you didn't always have people above you in the hospital. Like as a resident, you might be the highest ranking doctor in the entire hospital, surgeon wise. And so there was a lot of autonomy, which they don't get as much anymore. That's the big thing, right? Is like, how much can you cut this back before
you're on your own?
Yeah, right. And so there actually is a study. I have one more study to show. And this one's from just, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. And it was the readiness of U.S. general surgery residents for independent practice. And this study flat out said that residents graduating at that time in 2017 were not equipped to be on their own, which is a big change from 10 years prior. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to dig in to see if there was actually a study done in the 2000s. But I remember when I graduated and all my co-residents were the same. By the time we got to fifth year, we felt like we were coasting.
When did this guy, was he still a resident or how long was he in
I think
his
he was
program?
Like a third year resident.
How many did he have left?
So ophthalmology is like a prelim year and then 3 years of opto. So it's like a 4 year total.
So he had like a year left.
I think. I don't know exactly what year he's in, but he wasn't like a fresh. He was either in like year three or maybe four. I'm not sure.
Maybe I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff that could have happened. He could have gotten scared to face reality of what his life would be like after residency.
Knows? I mean, who knows what happens? Yeah. I just have a little bit of hesitation, obviously, in saying, well, this was just his job and we need to change things again. Because I see the downsides of, like, cutting the hours back. I mean, one, I don't think it was true that that was the major factor. I mean, could it have been a factor? Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Residency is stressful. And so
probably an equation of
different
things.
It's like a multifactorial thing. Yeah. But, you know, nowadays, a lot of jobs are stressful. I mean, you know, it's funny, when I went through my residency, and honestly, I would do it again. I would. I absolutely would go through my general surgery residency again, as hard as it was back then and as miserable as it was. Because, I mean, honestly, it was one of, like, the like when I finished it, I was like one of the biggest achievements. I think it's the biggest achievement of my life, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I always used to want to say, like, if somebody would ask me about it, I wanted to say it was like going through like Navy SEAL training. Mm-hmm. But then I would think that's just idiotic to say something like that. My life wasn't in danger.
But for you,
huh?
For you, it was.
Well, yeah. I mean, I felt like it was disrespectful to soldiers and military people to say something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was really hard. But was my life in danger? No.
No.
And so, I don't know. It's a sticky topic because there's a lot of people really pressing these days to make residency easier even again. And then there's people out there that kind of disagree with that. But you see what happens when if you say something like, oh, you know, you don't want to make it, then people like will dogpile you. I mean, it's the internet effect. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, you know how the internet is. You're on social media.
Well, I feel like right now mental health is like such a big topic, and it's
almost gotten polarizing.
You have to walk on eggshells around it, because it's like it's like almost you can go to your job and be like, I don't feel like emotionally safe at my job, and people will be like, oh my god, but really it's like,
yeah,
what does that even mean? Like, you know,
it's weird. It's interesting how things have changed.
I mean,
and I don't know if it's generational. I mean, you know, it was funny, like the whole reason that residency changed in the 2000s was not because people were complaining. It was because of a lawsuit there was a lawsuit where a resident doctor got sued, and he said, the reason I made a mistake was because I was so tired because I'd been up for 36 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that they changed it, not because people were complaining. I never thought to complain when I went through.
You,
I was just...
You said, this is what it is.
I was right. I was like, this is what it is. I know it's going to suck. I feel like it's going to be worth the suck.
That's like somebody complaining about a marathon after they already did it.
Or like when they started it. Yeah. Like, or like going into it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I signed up for like this really big marathon. And then while they're doing it, they're like, I blame you for my for my torn muscle.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
You signed up for it, bro.
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, honestly, it doesn't affect me directly. I just, you know, I just kind of weigh in on stuff because I know a lot about residency. I mean, I did 8 years of residency and fellowship. Mm-hmm. And I still, you know, I don't have residents directly under me, but they work at the hospitals I work at. So I talk to them about, you know, what they're doing. And I mean, it's an interesting topic, and I'm not sure that there's any right answer. I mean, obviously you don't want people to be miserable, but at the end of the day, you want people to be competent when they come out. And there's some data showing now that people aren't. And I think that that's a change.
Yeah, but, I think, yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, like the biggest thing is, you know, I mean, this is a tragedy. That guy, you know, I mean, took his own life, and you know that, I mean, there's just nothing positive you can say about that. And you know, I think the biggest thing, and like he wanted to do, is make sure it doesn't happen to other people.
Yeah.
But yeah, sad story. I hate that. I mean, it's just, you know, to see somebody with all that potential do that, it's just heartbreaking, really. Yeah. So sad stories. But anyway, that's why I broke the internet.
Yeah, I was concerned.
I was really, well, I was surprised.
I was going to text you, but I was like, you're probably trying to forget all about this and focus on,
no, I mean,
on,
you
like,
know, like, I'm happy to, like, engage with people on social
stuff.
Media, like, you know, cordially. I mean, I like to debate things. I mean, it's in my nature to talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. So if people want to talk about stuff, I'm like, yeah, I'm game. I mean, all the people who are, like, assholes about it, I mean, seriously, they can piss off. Like, I mean, people, like, try to cancel you for having an opinion. It's just BS, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously no one's like dogging this poor guy. I mean,
yeah,
it's just like discussion about the topic.
Yeah.
You know how people are. It's just, people are weird these days. I guess, or maybe I'm just getting old.
No.
I'm not getting old?
No.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sarah. All right. So moving on to a less depressing, well, actually.
Moving on quickly.
moving on quickly to our last segment, which I know you love a good Florida surgery mishap.
Yeah, tell me what they messed up on.
So, you know, this one, there's not a lot to it, which is good because we're kind of slow on time, or kind of low on time here. So this is actually a story out of Miami, Florida, about a patient who got, what kind of surgery, Sarah?
A BBL.
She got a BBL.
Yes.
In 2021. You guys know how I feel about BBLs. Second time I've said this in this episode today. I don't like BBLs, high mortality rate, long-term issues. We can talk about that some other time. So this Dr. Julio Alvarez, who I looked up, the guy's totally legit, board certified plastic surgeon. He did have some previous state complaints, but seemed like not really a whole lot there as far as I could find. So there's a new complaint filed against this guy from the Florida Department of Health against him regarding this patient from 2021. And the reason I picked this is because the story makes no sense.
Okay.
I read the story and I was like, this makes zero sense. So obviously we need to talk about it. So the patient was said to have a BBL. After discharge, the patient had to go to the hospital for severe abdominal pain. I was like, okay, that's interesting. I mean, Brazilian butt lift is just liposuction, fat injection. I mean, there is that risk of dying, but normally when people die, and we've talked about people that have had that happen, mm-hmm. they kind of, you know, just kind of lose consciousness, or they just kind of like have a cardiovascular collapse. So this patient actually had severe abdominal pain. So that's a different type of complication spectrum than we're used to seeing. And so they go to the hospital and come to find out the patient had a drain placed intra-abdominally. Okay, so that's the weird part. So first off, you don't use drains in a BBL. So there has to be more to this story for why was there a drain placed in this patient. And I think that there's an obvious answer for this. And the obvious answer is probably they had a tummy tuck with a BBL.
Okay.
We hear about that all the time. We've talked about many patients who had tummy tuck BBLs and had complications. And so you do use drains for tummy tucks. Now, it still doesn't make sense to me because, and maybe it's best, Travis, if you throw up that last infographic. So this is your abdominal wall. So you see those green circles that I placed on the image? They're kind of right above the white and red structures.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the tissue plane dissection for a abdominoplasty. You go through the skin, you go through the fat. So the skin's the black line, the subcutaneous tissue is the fat layer. And when you get down to that fascial layer, which is where those little zeros are, then you start to go along the top of it, okay? You never go deeper than that. Look at all those layers between the circle and the X, because the X is where the drain ended up.
Oh.
Yeah, like how in the world? How did this happen? He went through three layers of fascia, three layers of muscle, or one giant layer of muscle, plus a posterior layer of fascial and the peritoneum. Like, I don't understand it. The story just mystifies me. I have to assume that the patient had abdominoplasty, because that's not what the story said. The story said it was a straight up BBL, which is just, that would be even more incredulous. But yeah, so this patient apparently had to go into emergency surgery to have this drain removed, and now they're like doing this investigation about it.
And but she's okay?
Yeah, she made it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she's fine. Yeah, she didn't die. It was just a severe abdominal pain.
Good.
And I guess maybe one of the reasons that they're looking into this might be because of just the very odd finding of a drain intra-abdominally. And I really want to know more about this, because that layer that you're talking about, I mean, it's hard to get through it with a knife when you're just cutting straight through it. I just don't understand how a drain got into that spot.
He didn't have the right playlist.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he saw an owl.
He stepped on a bug.
He had a fight with his wife.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna give the guy the benefit of the doubt that he didn't do something crazy. I mean, things can happen in surgery. Okay, so let me say one example where this could potentially happen, and it would be believable if the patient had a bunch of liposuction in the past, which is also along that plane where those circles are.
Okay.
And the guy got into like horrible scar tissue. I just had a tummy tuck I did the other day, and man, the patient had previous liposuction and it sucked big time, because that tissue plane that I like to go through, you know, very easily was just concrete. And it took me a long time to get through, because you don't want to go too deep, right? But the thing is, if you go too deep, generally you hit muscle and you know, okay, I've gone too deep. So I still don't know how that would happen, but yeah, that's an odd one. Like going all the way into the abdominal cavity with a drain, I call it a mishap. It's like a misdirection.
That's a bad mistake.
Yeah, fortunately the patient's okay. And maybe there'll be more information about it. Like I said, I'm not dogging this guy. Things happen in surgery, and you know, it's one of those things where anything can happen, and maybe this was just a really hard case, but I just found it weird. That's just, everything about the story made no sense. And so I just want to touch base, and I really probably should have like another plastic surgeon on here that could pontificate with me.
Maybe.
I should have called somebody.
Maybe.
So Sarah, you have to stand
dial in.
You're standing, you and Travis. Trey, any thoughts?
I have no pontification.
No pontification. That's all right. Sometimes we just like to talk about things and say, hey, this happened, and hey, we'll follow up on it and see what comes of it.
100%.
All right. I think that is all the time we have for today. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really, really do appreciate it. Please leave us a comment. We would love to talk about some topics that you'd like to hear about on the next episode of Nip Talk.